Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Carly from Daytime After Dark. It's 18th of January, and it's Monday, and I believe it's soggy all over the West Coast, and I believe it's probably freezing and raining all over the, you know, West Coast and the East Coast, and, you know, I don't think it's sunny anywhere but maybe Hawaii. And my belief is that it's very, 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 very unfair. Okay, tonight's topics are Young and the Restless, At the Ratoons, AMC, The Bold and the Beautiful, everything. And, you know, let's just have fun and talk about everything. And, you know, I'm going to bring up, like, I'm going to bring up some words tonight. There should be no cussing, no swearing. You know, you can bend. This is what the show is. You know, you can, you know, you can be honest with how you feel about anything, you know? You can just bend, you can yell, you can scream, you can just basically say pretty much how you feel. And so I'm going to bring on my co-host, and then there looks like another caller too. So I'm going to bring on my co-host, Terry, and then we'll bring on the other caller in a moment. So, hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm sick of the rain. And
I'm sick of the rain, too. I have, in Southern California, we have a big storm here, so it's been raining all day. I've been in my house all day, haven't wanted to do anything.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And everyone, the sad room just came up. You're in the sad room, right, Terry, too?
Yes,
you had no problem gaining. Okay.
No.
So, yeah, we have a caller.
Okay.
You know, it's from a nice phone number, so that's good.
Okay.
Hey, 626, you're on the air with us.
Hey. Hey, it's Heather.
Oh, I am so glad you came up. Come on.
Even though I'm, like, dead tired from my flight, but it's okay.
How was the flight? Did you? Was it?
Well,
easy?
It was very bumpy over Colorado, so.
Was it easy? I mean, how was security?
Oh, that was fine. There's not much to it, but my sister took off from LAX before me at like 6 o'clock, and so she said she got through fine and that it shouldn't be a problem, and then I didn't have a problem.
Well, I mean, that's good, and they didn't make you the last hour of your flight. They let you keep the TV and everything on, right? Because I heard on some flights, the last hour, you're not allowed to do anything, or is that just going to England and everything?
Yeah, the guy next to me would stop staring at me. I was like, okay, why are you staring at me? The guy next to me would stop staring at me.
Oh, my.
I don't know.
Well, oh, my God, that is so horrible. Okay, so what's so about you? Mad, kicked off, and whatnot? Mad.
What?
What's so bad? Are you mad, ticked off?
I don't really know. Well, like, today bored me. I didn't want... out of the three I watched, the only one I haven't seen today is All My Children, but One Life to Live just was boring, and so was General Hospital. Except for Lucky. I was like, why are you doing that? He's acting weird.
Hmm. Well, this one, you know, I hate Lucky, so, are you a Lucky fan?
Yeah, I like him. I just felt bad for him because
okay,
I don't like...
thank God.
I don't like Liz and Nichols together because that's disgusting.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what, but I want to clarify this right now on this show because this is my show. This is Terry the My Show. And basically, Terry and I can make up all the rules that we want on our show. So the Nicholas and Liz storyline, here's how I really, really, really feel, and I'm not going to go back on it. People should lay the hell off Liz. I'm sorry if little kids are listening, and I'm sorry I said hell, but what Liz had done does not make good everything that they have been saying for weeks. I'm sorry, but what Liz did does not make her what Sam is. I'm sorry, it does not.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I like Liz. I just don't like her and Nicholas together.
No, and you know what? It brings me to the other point. If Emily was alive, none of this was going on. Liz would never have slept with her best friend's husband.
Yeah, because could you imagine if it was like Lucky and Emily sleeping together?
Well, you know what, to be honest, Terry, are you there?
I'm right here. I'm here.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, Terry and I would have more liked it if I ever won the Emily and Lucky well, because you know what, they would have been cute with this Nicholas and this thing. Now, you know, a couple of years ago, if they would have done it, would have been okay, but now it's sick and wrong.
Yeah.
And then,
I don't know, Sam and Jason bore me. Like, I'm walking into his apartment and seeing Maxie, what she did too. I'm like, what's such a big deal? So his apartment looks different. Move on.
Well, you know what?
When I found out that pool table has been with Jason like forever, though. I mean, I was surprised when they took that out. I mean, come on, they're really crazy character, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but you know, I'm not gonna demonize Max and say she's a little brat for doing that, but maybe it's wrong to like go ahead and take a pool table out of someone's apartment when it's been there for so long. I mean, you know, I mean,
I blame the writers for that one too. Cause,
thank
you. Know, the pool table was like Jason, you know.
Yes.
It's part of him.
Yes.
Just like Liz,
you know,
is a part of him and Jake and everything.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm ready for some new stories.
Well, you know what? I read it. I think Steve Burton I was reading on a message board that Steve, I think, is filming scenes with Becky. I don't know if they're going to be happening soon or down the road, but I think he's filming them with her.
And you know what, you guys? I don't care. I don't care. I mean, you know, I don't get many Sam and Jason phone calls on the show.
Well, I hope not.
To be honest, I am glad, but I feel Jason and Liz are coming back to us. I feel that way, and I'm so happy.
Well, good luck, because if they write Rebecca's pregnancy into the show, then as right now, Nicholas would be the father. That's the only person he can be sleeping with.
Okay, Heather, wait a moment. Okay. Okay, calm down, Carly. Okay.
Calm down.
No, because number one on the soap opera, they would not write it down now. They would write Becky getting pregnant a year later. They don't write it down when you get pregnant. When you're pregnant in real life, you don't write it down. You don't write the story right now. You write it down a year later.
I don't know, because I read a tweet that Rebecca posted on Twitter, and she said something like,
Rebecca, who's doesn't have her own Twitter page?
Yes, she does.
No, she doesn't.
Well, it might be her husband has a Twitter page. Michael Fasado does, so I don't know. Yeah, but she doesn't have it.
She doesn't have it. And they say as of right now, it's not going to be reaching into the story as of now.
Well, I don't even know who to believe has a Twitter anymore, because there's a million for everybody that I'm like, who knows if anyone really has one? They could all be fake. You wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
And Smokey saw her husband does. But
yeah.
I personally think they won't write into the storyline until next, you know, after she goes back on maternity leave. They never write when that actor just gets pregnant in real life. They've never done that.
But when she was pregnant with, when she got pregnant the first time, though, didn't they, like, write that in the story, or no? Was that written?
No. No, she went on maternity leave.
Huh?
When she went on maternity leave, the first time, and then she came back, they were about miscarriage after she came back.
Okay, because I thought Cameron, she was actually pregnant with her first child, or her second child, when she was pregnant on the show with Cameron. I might be mistaken, I don't know.
But all I'm saying, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm saying I think we are going to wait a little while.
Yeah, well, I hope they don't write this pregnancy at all. If they were thinking about it, I hope that they don't, because, and if they were to know who's the daddy storyline again.
You know what? Yeah, but if they do, let's wait on a couple months. You know what? Because I want Jason as the father. I do not want the little star Nicholas or the little bastard Lucky as the daddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I know. And if they, if they do have a baby, maybe a year or two down the road, once they're together again.
I feel Jason and Liz are coming. And okay, Smokey says, I don't want Liz to have another baby. Okay, Smokey, yeah. But you know what? Once Liz and Jason get back together and they have a nice little story, I do. I'm sorry, I do want to see them have a little nice little family, right? Everyone doesn't want, okay. Everyone, okay, Heather.
Yeah.
Why are you speaking for everyone who doesn't want her to? I do.
Everybody on my Twitter, I said no. Like, everybody's like, I'm praying that Liz isn't pregnant and all this. And it's true, because everybody knows as if right now, if they do write in the show, that Nicholas would be the father, because she only slept with Lucky once. And Jason, she hasn't even slept with a year ago.
Okay, but if they do my theory, wait a couple months, who and Jason hook up one night.
Yeah, but they're not going to make Jason a father again when he already did that, and him give his son away.
Oh, my God, he did that. Oh, God. I am so goddamn sick of everyone said Jason gave his son away. That's not what happened.
Well, whatever. He doesn't even talk to his son.
Oh, my God.
As far as everybody knows, Lucky's the father, so... It would just be a waste of a story.
Okay, Heather, how long have you been watching Xenia Hospital? How long have you been watching Xenia Hospital? Hello?
Hello.
She hung up. Was I wrong?
What was about Jason, how he thought people, I'm sorry, I'm like, no, I mean, yeah, he didn't give Jake up. He just didn't want to be in his life because of the danger and all that. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from too, you know, and everything. And, yeah, he didn't really give up his child. I mean, he didn't give his rights away or anything. I don't think he did.
Now Smokey's gonna leave too. Did I do something wrong, Terry?
You kind of probably just had a bit of a, you know, argument there a little bit about that. I mean, you could have calmed down a little bit. I should have said to calm down a bit.
Yeah. Jason did not give away his son, though. It was Elizabeth and Jason decided together.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And that's all I was trying to say. And she cut me off. Didn't see you.
Well, you were just like, saying how you felt, you know, and everything and all that, and I guess a lot of people think that, you know, that he did give up his child, I guess, and everything, but no, he didn't.
Oh, this is gonna be fun. I'm sure my name's going to be all over Twitter now. Okay. I'm not mad at you, don't worry. You know, this is not your fault.
Oh, no, I know. I mean, I just was just saying how you felt, you know, about that. Because Jason's like our favorite character. Well, you know, not so much anymore right now, but I mean, Jason's just doing what he thinks is right for his child, you know, and what he thinks is right now is to not be in his life, you know. No, he didn't give his child away or give his child up. He's just letting Lucky be a father in public, you know, and everything.
You know, she cut me off about two times. You heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after last week, you know, oh, my God. I'm on Twitter now, hon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people still ask for opinion if they don't really want to hear it. Yep.
I probably should have said, you know, to calm down a little bit, but I mean, I know, I just, because I agreed too with you, you know, I should have just said, let them have their opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know what? You know what, but it wasn't like I was, you know, I mean, we were talking about the pregnancy. And you and I were not even, you know, fighting about it. Oh, my God. Brandy goes, I don't know why she left. I think she hates this Sam and cannot stand about hearing anything about them. I'm not sure. Okay, but Brandy, all I said was I didn't think Zayton really gave up Zeke. It was just Elizabeth made the decision with him.
I think maybe just how I think maybe they were upset with just how you overreacted kind of about it, you know.
Oh, well.
And then they left.
Oh, yeah, and took Smokey with her.
Well, you could just, like, you know, just, I don't know, give an apology for how you overreacted and you understand they have their opinion, you know, and everything, you know.
You know, it's funny. When it comes
to, like, you didn't mean to, you know, go off like that. You're just probably just ticked with everything that's been happening, with what people are saying about, you know, Liz and even Lulu and all that, and all the characters that we like, you know.
You know, it's funny. You know, it's funny. For the last couple of weeks, everyone was telling me, you know, control yourself. Say what you really, you know, feel on yourself. The moment I do, the moment they don't like it, you know? It's weird. Okay, people.
Let's switch over to maybe something else now, like. Well, I wish there was a lot of people on the show right now in chat, because I was going to ask about 24, if anybody likes 24 and if anybody watched it, because I love that show.
Yeah, I think 24, you know, is like a, you know, really good show, and, you know, okay, I might be, you know, one season behind, but I still think 24 is a really good show, and it's still action-packed really good, and it's not boring, and everything else.
Yeah, it's like, that's one thing I like about that show. You watch it, and the next thing you know, it's like over.
Yeah.
Like, last night's premiere was 2 hours, and the next thing I knew, it was over. DVR right now. Yeah, well, I would say TiVo, but I don't really have a TiVo DVR. I'm DVRing it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, this is like, you know, one of, like, 24 is a really good show. And you know what? It hasn't lost, you know, many people from, you know, anywhere. And, you know, it's been like one of those good shows that hasn't lost the audience, even with the writer's strike and whatever, even though it wasn't on for like a year and a half or 9 months, it's still one of those really, really good shows.
Yeah, I think it's a good way. I think it's good that they put it on in January, because then you don't have any repeats. You know how those 9 month shows or whatever, they have like so many repeats on hiatuses and everything. And I'm glad that 24 did the way that they did, because you don't have to, you have every week. You don't have to wait every other week sometimes to see it.
Exactly. And you know,
yeah,
that's what I love too. I mean, the fact, you know, oh my God, I'm on Twitter again, you guys.
What are they saying, something bad or what?
Oh, well, she goes, yeah, I just got yelled at.
Oh, well, I mean, you just kind of overreacted. I don't think you were meaning to yell at her. You were just like fed up with, to me, you're just like fed up with you're just saying how you felt. I don't think you were really intended it to her, right? I mean,
exactly.
You know.
No, I mean, you know what? It's this whole thing that I'm personally getting sick of. That, you know, we have all this fan base with, you know, with Zaytsen and Liz, and Zaytsen and Sam. And all this anger that Zaytsen and Liz cannot even be in the same room. And then we have Zaytsen not being father to Zayk. And everyone's on Zaytsen's ass for not being a good father to Zayk. And everyone's under this assumption that Zaytsen walked away from Zayk on purpose or something. And when
He didn't walk away from Zayk on purpose, especially after the second kidnapping. I mean, that if the character of Jason, that's the only way he knew at that time when they were writing him, that's the only way he knew how to protect his son. And, you know, I mean, you know, when he bought the house for Liz and when he gave her $5 million, it was for the future of his child. He didn't use that money to buy her off or anything because she wasn't taking it at first. But then I think he convinced her that, you know, it's for Zayk and for Cameron and for the future. And it was, you know, for, so it wasn't like buy off money or anything. I mean, if she were to call him today or tomorrow, he would run to them, you know? And he really loves his son. You could see it in his face at the carnival, remember?
Yeah.
Remember what happened to him at the carnival? Oh, my
exactly.
God. It was like a whole scene of Jason, music background, like after all that happened at the carnival and when Jason was carted off to the, was taken to the hospital, you could see it in his face that he loved his son so much and everything, so...
You know, I just feel like, you know, VH has been down in the ratings for so long, and no matter what, you know, no matter what everyone says, it really hasn't gotten better. It really, really, really hasn't gotten worse. It just, you know, it really hasn't, you know, gotten better. You know, and people are mad. People, you know, TikTok. People, you know, are getting in fights on Twitter. People are getting fights in the room, and it's really bad.
Yeah, well, you could blame it on the damn fucking... Oh, sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to say that. Sorry for the kids that are listening, but Franz, it wasn't for him. Nobody... We wouldn't all be going through this, you know? I mean, he's just got his own agenda going on here, and he doesn't care how these characters are being written. He doesn't care that the fan bases are playing off of each other. You know, he's probably laughing in his pants. Or, you know, laughing, whatever the analogy goes, or pooping in his pants or something like that. And he's loving every minute of it.
You know, the reason why I took this so on, because, you know, I felt like all voices, you know, was not being heard. And to be honest, our voices still are not being heard. And, you know, tonight I thought, oh, I'm going to have such a positive show. Nothing's going to go wrong, you know? But when it comes to Jason, Lulu, Maxie, Liz, Carly, Spinelli, I'm very loyal. And when I hear these characters that I really, really like talking about and see on screen and getting trashed by Twitter and Facebook, and I know they are these characters, I find it very unfair because I see this one, other character on the show that I'm going to be very, very big right now and not mention her name. That way is not fair. But you want to trust everyone I love on the show, but it's okay not to ever say anything wrong about this one character, but you can come on and trust everyone else. It's not fair, and it's not right, and you do it, but when I say something in defense of Jason and Maxie and Carly and Spinelli and even Sunny, somehow I'm wrong, and if I yell and scream at the top of my lungs, I'm a crazy person, and you want to leave myself because I'm finally mad, and at the beginning, the show I played, the Dixie Six, I'm not ready to make nice, well, Fonz, I'm not ready to make nice with you, because you've done all this, and you know what you've done, and you know you have held us hostage, and you really have put a gun to every writing team with One Life to Live, ABC, and General Hospital, and you don't care about your writing team, you don't care about your producing team. The only one, you only care about one viable actress. And you know, I know the tables are turning over at Zeno Hospital. But what about Zeno? What about One Life to Live, Fonz? Don't you give a dang what you do there, too? Are you going to make all of us go crazy and make us weigh about 500 pounds when all of this is over?
Or end up in a psychiatric ward. Oh. I think he needs to go, the writers, and he needs to go take a cue from other stations and, you know, look at what Days of Our Lives did. They turned around drastically. They were like the lowest last year, a couple years ago, right? Days of Our Lives was?
Yes, they will.
And they turned themselves around because of they realized what they were doing to the show, and they totally turned it around. Yeah, they probably shouldn't have let people go that were on the show for a long time, like Roman and Marlena. You know, they didn't need to do that. And Days of Our Lives, speaking of Days of Our Lives, Carly Manning, I'm not liking so much right now. Because she slept with, it was a mutual thing, but I'm not liking Bo or Carly right now because of what they're doing. Hope, you know, left and took their daughter with her, but it's not like she went out and slept with anybody. You know, and he did. He slept with Carly.
And that was so inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? That's another thing. You know, Days of Our Lives did a big, big, big wake-up call. And no, I don't think I'm ever going to forgive them, you know, for firing Mary Beth Seven and Steve Nichols and Drake and Deidre. They knew what they were doing. You know, let's bring some hollow, sexy people on. They knew what they were doing.
Mhm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then to top it off, Days of Our Lives, they also didn't do something that nice. Was they killed off a real beloved character, Mickey Hartnett?
Then that's another little screwy thing I'm still ticked off at.
Yeah. I mean, they probably, you know. They probably could have just had him retire somewhere, or I don't know.
Welcome back, Smokey and Grassy came back.
Yeah, me too. I was getting scared there for a minute. Everybody was leaving.
Yeah, see, when I kind of, but you know what, I think, you know, I mean, but, you know, but I just think, you know, we, You know, I just don't understand. People know, like, Days of Our Life did a good thing. But, you know, I just would, General Hospital would, you know, go over Days of Our Life and sit down and have a meeting. You know? I mean, I'm not saying saying Days of Our Life may was perfect either, but they, you know, they saved their ass about, you know, getting canceled. I mean, you know, I mean, they did not get canceled, so maybe that was a good idea.
Yeah. And you know what's kind of sad right now is that As the World Turns is being canceled, but they are beating right now. I think I read somewhere that they are beating. I don't know if they still are, but the last ratings I checked, they're beating like General Hospital in the ratings or something, weren't they? I don't know. Was it last week or the week before?
I believe it was last year. Yeah, I mean last week.
Yeah, that's like. That is so funny, considering that As the World Turns has been canceled, and look at their... Maybe everybody's tuning into As the World Turns to give them the ratings before they you know, take their last bow.
Hi, guest 6538. So, no, I mean, I'm the... So, you know, I think I'm mad because, you know, I think I'm just mad because, you know, they, you know, I guess I'm just mad of the way a lot of people, you know, has done the rating, you know, and I'm going to be ticked off if One Life to Live gets canceled. Hello?
Yeah, I like One Life to Live. I mean, I like, yes, I watched 24 last night. I was like the premiere. I love that show. Tonight, well, I'm DVRing it right now, and it's like, oh, I just love that show. I could never miss a day of that. I've been watching it since, like, however long it's been on.
Okay, yeah, that is a good show.
Go deeper, go Jack Bauer. I know, I had to put it on my DVR right now to record it, because there was no way I was going to miss that. So I'm glad for DVRs.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I don't know, do you want to see Jack with the lady that... I don't know what her name is on the show. She's the FBI agent. Do you want to see them together, or no? Am I the only one that like would like to see a little romance brewing between them two?
I think anyone would want
to see on General Hospital.
I just want to see Zach playing happy so Zach can be with him.
Yeah. I know. I felt sad that he, you know, his family had to go to Los Angeles because he really wanted to be with his family. But, you know, Jack had to come save the world or save, well, to me, like, saves the whole world. Yeah. Oh, Renee. That's right. Her name's Renee. Okay, thanks.
Well, Liaison Finally is here.
Hi, Liaison Finally. I don't know. I didn't watch Human Target. I think I was watching the Golden Globes when that was on. But was it good?
Is yeah, she go.
Watched it?
I didn't, but...
You didn't watch
she
it?
No, she goes... I just don't want ABC subs anymore. So I'm just cool watching YNL and B&B and Dates. Well, you know what? You know, I could never give up on Dates.
Yeah, well, like I've said a million times before, I tried tuning General Hospital back in, but I couldn't stomach it, so I had to take it off my DVR. And,
but you know what? You know what? You will be putting back on your DVR very soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody better should go rent some DVDs or get them from Netflix for 24. It's a really good show.
Well, yeah.
Because Leah hasn't finally said she never got into 24, but she's heard it is good. Yeah, you definitely do. Yeah, it was fun, too. I like the Golden Globes, yeah. Leah's been filing for Bold and Beautiful. What do you think of Steffi? Do you like her? I think she's not a very nice person.
I think I need to put Steffi out the window and see her fall into her death.
I know. I don't get. I mean, if Ridge and Taylor found out what she was doing with Bill and why Katie is doing
that. We have a phone number. We have a phone call.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on the conversation, if that's all right.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because I was listening before, and I think the lady had said that she had taken General Hospital off of her DVR, and some people, and like you said, I mean, I just don't understand why there are some fans who will continue to support this, even though, you know, it's abysmal now, but I just don't know, like, what do you guys think? I mean, what do you guys think the problem is with that show now? Because, I mean, I've been watching for a while now. I just don't know, you know, why fans aren't up in arms about this and, you know, screaming boycott.
Well, in my opinion, the show, it's the writing. The writing is terrible. It has been for a long time. And I used to watch that show back in the day when there was great storytelling, like when Robin and Stone days, when that was really good storyline. I remember when Dagger and Karen were on there, her sexual abuse storyline. But after now, it's like they can't write like that anymore. I just don't know. I miss that writing. And if they would write a good storyline, you know, I would tune back in. The writing's crap, and it's been crap for a few years now, and it's just a total mess. And
if they don't fix
it up soon, they're going to lose a lot more viewers.
Yeah, I agree. Now, do you think it's just the writing and that's it? I mean, is it fair to just log everything into the writing? I mean,
it's not just the writing, it's the people, it's also the higher ups too. They're not doing anything about it. I mean, look at Days of Our Lives back in a few years ago, like I was saying earlier, that they were on the verge of cancellation, and they had to turn that show around. So the people, you know, other than the writers, the people that were in charge of that show, they had to do something, or else they were gonna not have that show anymore. And they totally turned it around, and it's gotten better. I'm back.
Oh, no.
Huh?
Hey, Kelly, can I interrupt?
Sure. Yeah.
You know what? We said it, and we will keep saying it until someone listens. It's all about the pimping for Jason and Sam. And, you know, we've said it so many times. You know, they are pimping. No.
No, well, I think it's more of like, I think it's a combination of.
You only said that you watched it once, but, you know, once. You tuned in on once, and then you went back 10 months later.
No, it wasn't like that. But look, just to kind of clarify here, I think it's not, it's the writing, yes. Primarily it's the writing, but I also think it's like a sign of the times, and also somewhat the fans are to blame as well. Because when you talk about something like as integrity of, like the integrity of like your fanship, I mean, there are guys that I know, you know, like Star Wars fans that will continue to support, you know, the Star Wars movies, even though, you know, the prequels were complete rubbish. Now, I just think that, if you're a fan of something, I know we're talking about Jon Arnold, but if you're a fan of something, I think that, you know, when you're talking about integrity as a fan, I mean, it's like a responsibility to not support it if it's not living up to the standards. Like, I mean, would you guys agree that General Hospital fans are no longer in control of their fanship? They are no longer in control of their show?
Okay, I'm still watching because I do believe this crap that we are watching for the moment will be turned around. You know, so
right.
Before you say, no,
the reason I'm saying it is because, like, back in the day, you know, the Luke and Laura days, the, the Sonny and Carly, you know, the good version back in 97, Jason.
Good version?
Wait a moment. Okay.
No. The good version of Sonny and Carly? I don't know. Wait, the good version? Sonny and Carly? I love Laura White, the place, Carly, No.
Okay.
If you are saying that the good version because
Let's say the better version then, okay? Because, okay, whether or not you like Sonny and Carly today, they don't hold a candle to what they did back in 97.
Yes.
Okay? I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't care?
What Sarah Brown and Maurice Bernard brought back in 97, you really think that the Sonny and Carly of today can match that?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I agree with her, too, because Laura Wright is a really good actress, and she's taken that role.
I'm not saying she's bad. I'm just saying, look at what we got back then versus what we're getting today. That's what I'm saying. Now, you can say that the writing's bad and, you know, this, that, and the other, but, I mean, it's like, it depends on what kind of actor you are, in my opinion. Like, you can be given absolute crap, but you can actually do something with what you're given. But you have to be, I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, you just have to be a certain kind of actor. Like, some of the scenes that they give Steve Burton, right, you can actually see in some of his facial expressions that this guy's not liking what he's getting. And sometimes he'll just, you know, stay silent. You guys know what I'm talking about?
You know...
I just think that if some of these guys were certain kinds, so I don't think it's completely on the writing. I think it's mostly on the writing, but, I mean, you got to look at some of the actors on that show, too. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but we are talking about a man's opinion, Andre. And let's see, most men don't watch soaps unless they are gay. Okay, so.
Right. No.
So, if you really know, so when you say, oh, Steve Burton, well, you know what? Yeah, he's one of the reasons why I'm still watching. And number two, if you give Laura Wright anything, she can do more of a good job with it. You know what? Sarah Brown was on it for a year and a half playing Claudia, they call her the Psycho Bitch. And you know what? It was a disaster from the beginning. So before you say the Sonny and Carly good days, no. Sonny and Carly with Laura Wright is great. And before you put it down, why don't you watch?
No.
Why don't you watch a year and a half of it before you judge it? Why don't you go back to 2004, 2005, and 2006 and see when Maxie lost his sister, when you saw her heart being. See who get her new heart. See all that before you judge people. General Hospital has one of the greatest actors and actors on there, and the writing is so crapped up because of Bob Gosa and Brian Fawn. Really, it's not really Bob Gosa. It's really Brian Fawn who's responsible.
Okay. Is there anyone else on the line that wants to weigh in here?
No one else is on the line.
Okay. Well, I'd say this. See, you had a guest on, I think it was two shows ago, and she had called actors like, I don't know their names, but, you know, the actors that portray Spinelli and Max, and she had said that they had done a superb job. Now, do you agree with that?
Yes, okay, you talking about Maxie and Spinelli? Yes, I love Bradford and Kristen Stone. I love Bradford, that played Spinelli. So if you really want to go through,
it's like when you put, you know, actors like that in the superb category, then I would just question, you know,
what did you question?
No. Okay, look. Do you agree with that guest that you had that, that the actors that have portrayed, you know, Lulu and,
yes.
You think that they're superb, they're doing
yes,
superb
I do.
Stuff.
Okay. And you know what, I guess the Academy would too, because, you know, Lulu Bloom got a daytime Emmy, so I guess we are not the only ones, are we?
Well, I mean, I mean, if, all right, let's just say that's true. I mean, if that's superb, I mean, what category would you put Steve Burton and Maurice Bernard in?
Okay, see,
I
you
mean,
didn't lose everything you say, yes, but you know what, no matter how you look at it, Zeno Hospital has one of the most amazing, talented cast around.
I don't know. I honestly, I'm just not feeling it. Like, I'm looking into your chat room now. Even AJ, people are talking about AJ in the chat room now. Even this guy, as much as you hated him, he did a good job. I mean, it's like, this guy.
Oh,
like,
he did good. Yeah, he made a good, done a good job. But his character.
But he's not on the level of Maxie and Spinelli. That's what you're saying, right?
His character was very, very crappy written.
Okay,
and
right. Forget about the characters, okay? Some people are meant to play bad guys. Some people are meant to play good guys. I'm saying the guy did a good job acting as the character of AJ. So I'm asking you, if that guy did a good job, he's still not on the same level as the guys who play Maxie, Spinelli, and Lulu. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. All right. Okay, so what, may I ask a question? What do you consider to be, like, one of the greatest performances ever in a movie? Like, how
in
do you
a movie,
acting?
Okay.
How do you judge, and can you answer, like, how do you judge what acting it really is?
What did you judge? Because according to you, you think it has to be so good, because according to you. According to you, no one on Zeno Hospital should be really on Zeno Hospital. Is that what you're saying?
You said what? Say that again.
According to you, none of these people that you name besides Steve Burton should be on Zeno Hospital, correct?
Well, I've only named a few. I haven't named too many, actually. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be on the show. I mean, they just shouldn't have, like, so much screen time that it's ridiculous. I mean, it's, like, crazy.
Okay, if we aren't talking about screen time, the one that should not be having so much damn screen time is Kelly Monaco. Okay?
Right,
if we were, no. If we aren't talking about...
No, I agree. I actually agree with you. She's just, I mean, no, you're right. But, listen, can we just go back to the performance where, like, what do you, in a movie, what would you say is one of the greatest performances you've ever seen?
Tara, you can take this.
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Well, the question was, you know, what was, like, one of the greatest performances you've ever seen by an actor in a movie?
Oh.
Because we're now on the subject of, you know, what acting is, you know, with certain characters in General Hospital, but we'll get back to that. But if you can just answer that question for me, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
What's the great acting in a movie today or
yeah, like,
in the past?
Like in the past. Anytime. What's the greatest performance you've ever seen by an actor?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I like so many actors. I love Meryl Streep. Now, she's a really, really good actress. Trying to think. Oh, man. I can't really think off the top of my head. I've seen so many movies in my life that nothing is shining out right now.
Okay. May I ask
what's the way guy. I like her, too. She did a really good performance in, in a movie, and I'm trying to think of the movie, sorry, but talking about some really great actors like Jessica Lange and Meryl Streep, I mean, get any movie of theirs and some good acting in those movies. But I'm sorry, I can't think of a specific, yeah.
So would you agree that Kate Blanchett is a good actress?
I like her. Yes, I would.
What about De Niro, Pacino? I'm seeing them in the chat room now.
They are really good actors. I like them too.
The reason I bring this up is because you can take actor, because a lot of people, and I'm not accusing anyone here, it's just a lot of people don't really know what acting is. To me, acting is a gauge between what you are in real life, like who you are, and the character that you're playing. So if you're playing that sort of like 90210-ish teenager on a soap opera, you may or may not be doing a good job. That's irrelevant. But if you were that type of person a year and a half or 2 years ago, I mean, you're not really, in my opinion, you're not really acting. That's just my opinion. You may be doing a good job with what you're doing. But see, then that's where the confusion comes in, where people now like to call these young actors and young actresses, they want to say that they're good. To me, you know, acting is you're playing a doctor in one movie, and then 2 months later you're playing some kind of homicidal maniac, you know, something like that. I mean, it's like, so when people say that, now, you know, I don't want to get any heat for this, but just when people say that actors like Lulu and Maxie and Spinelli, someone on this show has used the word, what was the word that lady used? They're doing an amazing job. I mean, it's like, if that's amazing, what is what De Niro and Pacino were doing? I mean, if that's five stars, how can what De Niro and Pacino, how can that be five stars too? That's just my opinion. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys I just don't get where the discrepancy in the gauge is coming from. I just don't know how you can classify certain actors on a certain level, but then turn around and look at what, you know, these proper actors are doing. And I just don't know why this is acceptable. I mean, we could get so much better than what we're getting, but it's just that people just continue to accept, you know, what's given to them. And I get that, you know, fans don't really have their say in certain things anymore. I know, you know, definitely in the movie industry now, it's like people don't really, I mean, people just accept what they're given, but it's like, you know, guys, come on. I mean, don't be afraid to say that someone's really not doing a good job. I mean, that's just, I don't know. We can change this topic if you guys don't want to talk about that.
You know, maybe if you would actually stop categorizing movie actors and soap actors, maybe people might actually like you and not come over the phone and whip you this word out, because
there's some actors from soaps have gone into Julianne Moore. She was on
Thank
Elsa Lucerne. She's a good actress.
Yep, I agree.
Let's see, who else? Meg Ryan. She was on soap operas too. She was on Elsa Lucerne too.
That's all well and good, but I'm asking. Okay, let's just say General Hospital went back to the writing days, you know, back during the golden age of General House, back when the writing was on point at its peak. Do you really think half of those actors could handle something like that?
Yes, I think. Oh, my God, yes.
I think
I'm sorry?
I think that they could. I think that they could pull it off. I mean,
you know, my wool. Why don't you?
Wait. Based on what? Why do you believe?
Okay, you know what? Why don't you go back to 2006, 2007, and watch the Metro Code stuff, the hostage code stuff?
What?
Go back to 2006, 2007, when all of the cast was working together doing the hostage.
What storyline was that? I might have been watching. What storyline was that?
Terry, you remember what I'm talking about? The hostage, when everyone was held hostage in the Metro Code, and all of them were working together, and all of them were together, and it was one of the greatest performances of the ensemble cast there was. And so when you, when you are putting this, you know, cast down and say, oh, let's go back to the Look and Load.
No,
you know what?
They have.
And you know what? You probably would not know what good acting is if it bit you in the ass.
What? Okay. So, in your opinion, everyone's doing a good job on the show except for...
I am not saying... No. I am not saying... Wait.
So give me an example.
I am
of
not...
That.
Okay.
Okay. Give me an example of an actor and actress you're not okay with on this show.
Oh, I'm not
besides,
okay.
Besides killing... We all know you hate Sam's character, but besides that... Okay, let's say...
Okay,
Jonathan
Jackson. Jonathan Jackson.
Let's say you hate Sam's character, but is she doing a good job at the character?
No, she's not.
She's not?
No, she's not. I do not like Jonathan Jackson. I mean, I wish...
Go ahead, carry on, sorry.
Yeah.
Carry on.
I do not like his acting. Pretty much Lucky is the dumbest guy in that town, and his acting ability is like...
Lucky.
Yes.
You don't like the actor that portrays Lucky?
No, I don't.
You don't like his acting?
I do not like Lucky or his acting 100%.
Wow. He's one of the best guys on there, but yeah.
Oh my.
When it comes to acting, yes, he's one of the best guys on there. The current Lucky.
Not
the other one.
Oh, okay. No, he's not. Okay. No, I'm sorry. No, he's not.
How? This is what I just don't get, and maybe someone on the line, and in the chat room can just answer. I mean, how can you say that this guy's not doing a good job, but then you turn around and look at what?
Oh my God, husband.
And then say she's doing great. How? I just don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me.
The way they are writing this guy, oh my God.
Sorry?
The way they are writing Jonathan Jackson is laughable.
When you say the way they're writing, I mean, look, the storylines are ridiculous. It's agreed. But look at what he's doing with the material that he's given. Look at those interrogation scenes that he has with Jason. I mean, that's right there.
Okay, look at it. Yeah, Jason could beat the crap out of him, and I wish he would, to be honest.
I'm talking about the acting. I'm not talking about what a character is capable of doing. Just look at the scenes that these guys have together. Everything else is rubbish. I agree. But I saw a scene the other day where Jason was in lockup. And I think, I don't know what happened. I think Lucky was trying to tell him, okay, look, just help, you know, kind of work with me here so we can get something done here. I mean, that was one of the good scenes. I just don't, how can you say that you don't like his acting and then you accept what Lulu's doing? I don't understand.
I have never bought the Lucky character ever when it was playing.
Forget the character. I can hate a character. I'm talking about the acting. I can hate AJ to death, but what he did back in 97, that was quality acting. I'm talking about the acting. Forget the fact that that's two different things, completely different things. We're talking about the acting now. You can love Spinelli to death, but okay, I'm not going to go there. Nothing.
But
no, no,
no. What?
No, no. Do you see the point I'm trying to make, though?
No, actually, I don't, because you know what? Lucky is the dumbest guy on that show. He's the dumbest cop ever.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Are you still on the line? The other caller? Hello?
Terry?
I'm sorry. I was chatting in the room. What was that?
I mean, do you get what I'm saying? Like the gauge between, you know, acting and I'm trying, like, because
I think that the
hosts. I'm not trying to take over your eyes. I think that you're having a hard time. You're having a hard time separating.
Well, I get what you're saying.
I like
Jonathan Jackson. I just don't like the character of Lucky. I mean.
Right.
Back in the day when Jonathan Jackson, there was really good writing for him. That's why he won those Emmys and everything, you know. But, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I do agree because, you know, he's a really good actor. I like Jonathan Jackson, and I just don't like Lucky's character right now. I don't like the character. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. It's the acting. It's, you know, I understand what you're trying to say. That you forget about the acting, and yeah, you do. He's a really good actor, and he could take on the juicy parts. And I'm thinking that's what they're gonna do with him right now. You know, and from what I understand, he's gonna probably get off the wagon, and maybe he'll get an Emmy performance. I don't know, but yeah, he's a good actor, and he could you know, if they were to give him a juicy storyline, he could just beat it down. You know.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But then I get what she, you know, we just don't like the character of Lucky right now, so,
that's
you know.
That's fine. I get that. And some of that, I think, has something to do with how the character has been, because, like, how long has this guy been gone? He's been gone for years, right? I mean, that's to be expected.
No, you're wrong.
I don't get the whole point of that. You go from him, you know, I just don't get why they brought him back. I mean, Greg Vaughn was doing well in the role of Lucky, but to me, it's like watching him as a teenager again on this show.
Right, I just
don't get why they fired Greg Vaughn to bring back Jonathan Jackson. I don't understand that.
So maybe for
us to fall back in love with, I wasn't a Liz and Lucky fan. I mean,
me either.
Maybe for the people to fall back in love with the characters again and make another super couple with them. I don't understand what that deal was.
That's just not going to work without the writing. But yeah, they brought him back.
Even if they got writing for them, it's been 10 years since he's been gone.
That's true.
The character of Lucky's been around, but that actor, they're trying to recreate that
years ago,
and they can't do it. I mean, it hasn't been happening, and it won't happen. You know, so.
Yeah. Bottom line, I just think that the guys that are running the show now, I mean, these guys, they just don't know what's good and what's not good. I mean, these guys, they just want to put their own little spin on it. You know, they're very arrogant, and they don't listen to the fans. And that's happening across the board, not just with soap opera. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Exactly. And a long time ago, they would have listened to us, the fans.
Exactly.
They're ignoring us, and if they weren't ignoring us, their ratings would be sky high.
Exactly.
And everything.
Exactly.
It
happens constantly.
Jason and Liz, we've been waiting 10 years for these two people to get together, and they know what they would do to the ratings if they were to put them together. Yet they don't want to do it because they just want to. They're just going to pimp their other favorite couple or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
And that's not right. I mean, we're a product. Or they're a product. They're, you know, we're the customer, so to speak.
Exactly.
We ain't
going to
buy the product if it ain't good.
It's crazy because you all, not me, because I'm not going to log, you guys were fans long before I was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really a fan, but, you know, I've seen the show. But you guys kept them in business. So what's happening now is people like you, who kept the industry going, who kept this General Hospital thing going, you guys are being forgotten about.
Yeah, and we have been around 10, to, what, I don't know, going on 11 years this year.
Yeah.
And Jason and Sam been going on just for what, a few years? And
3 years.
Right.
Yeah, 3 years, and we're a loyal fan base. And,
we are not going to go away.
And we're
this
not.
Is
we can
what
make
I'm,
10 if
exactly,
we have to,
you,
another 10.
Exactly, exactly. You guys are the loyal ones. Basically, you guys are the ones that all the studio heads should be looking to please.
Exactly.
Not just trying to, you know, cater to the masses so everyone knows. You don't do that. See, and that's happening across the board, even in movies. Like, these guys, like, to be honest, with all these, you know, Comic-Con events and all that stuff, honestly, when people thought they were too cool to, like, read comics and stuff, people were, you know, there were guys out there reading comics. They kept the industry going. So now it's just a cash cow. It's not about pleasing a fan anymore. It's just about, you know, coming out with a product, marketing in a way that they can get everybody, you know, everybody in on the act, and it just falls apart. And they just, and listen, to me, I just think that this whole Hollywood thing is going to burst. People aren't going to watch movies anymore, just like the music industry died.
But the music came back.
Well, it depends on what kind of music you're talking about. To me, rap is dead. Rap is finished.
Well, true.
Well,
now country,
music,
I would
have
say this. Country,
I like 80s music. They're to me.
Country is not going to die.
No, yeah.
No.
Country, yeah.
I'm not a big country fan, but I like some country, but I've never
I'm
been
not
a
country fan either.
Oh, yeah. I am.
But I
I'm
mean,
just,
the music back in the 80s, I think, to me, were the best. And
yes.
they,
yeah.
I that's all I listen to when I'm in my car
yeah,
is 80s
exactly.
music. And I like some of the music that are today, but I'm not
right.
as big
of
a fan
of
as I was
terrible.
In the 80s.
Right.
So.
Most of it is terrible. I mean, it's like some of the artists that are out there now, and I'm sorry for going off topic, but some of the some of the artists that are out there, like Soulja Boy and all these ridiculous people, they would have got laughed off of the street if they came out with that stuff back in the 80s, back when, like, Biggie and Tupac, they would have got laughed off the street. And it's not just with music. It's with movies and stuff as well. It's like some of these actors now, back when Brando and when you're talking about, like, action films and stuff like that, back when Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, and all these people, they're going to come out with this stupid teenage movie called Never Back Down. No, guys, listen, there would have been riots in the streets if half of these movies came out back in the 80s. People would just not accept it. Now everybody does.
Well,
and now are you
know
really going to tell
I,
me?
There are some good, there, I've been to the movies, not a lot, but there are some movies out there if you really go look, some good movies,
there
you
are
know.
Some, of course there are some, but 2009
but
was a disaster.
Remember, the reason they have these movies is because they're for the teenagers, you know, and
right,
stuff like
but,
that.
But
some
reason,
of them are not for just teenagers, though.
Right. But see, I'm actually from this generation that they try to market to, but it's like, if I had not gone back, like, I was fortunate enough to have one of those good uncles that made, you know, that made you sit down and watch, like, Godfather and On the Waterfront and all those good films. See, like, if I hadn't watched those films that came out way back when, I really wouldn't know what was good today. Like, and when we're talking about General Hospital, and please don't get mad at me, but, like, if I had not seen those scenes in 97, like when Robin got HIV and all those, you know, those quality scenes that, you know, really got you, like, teary-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't have seen those scenes back then, what I'm seeing now, I mean, I might be completely fine with Maxine Spinelli. I might think they're the greatest things ever. It all depends on, see, it's like, I would not know what was good if I had not gone back and watched them. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying, but I've been loyal since 91, and I loved Robin, Stone, all that, but I also have fallen in love with Maxine Spinelli, too. I've learned, you know, you can't like all these great couples and the couples back then, but also they did destroy Looking Loaded, too.
Right.
I mean,
you know what also is another kind of issue that I have? It's like, when I'm watching something like General, I mean, like, especially right then, like, I have to actually care about the guys that, you know, that I'm watching. You know what I mean? It's like,
exactly.
I agree with you too. That's why Jason and Liz, we care about these characters.
Yeah, we do. And when
because Liz went through, something happened to that character that never, you know, no woman should go through. She got raped, you know.
I remember that.
And you care for her character, and I think that's what, for my opinion, that's why I love Jason Liz so much.
As much as you love General Hospital now, I mean, do you really care like you did back then? Really?
Well,
Let's say you care what's going on.
Okay.
You really care.
Uh-huh. To be honest,
yeah.
I fell in love with Jason and Liz. That's what grabbed me. Back in the 90s, I cared about Looking Laura. I was crushed when Sunny and Brennan broke up. But when I saw Jason and Liz on screen, that was a couple for me. That was it for me. And, you know, what they've done now is a political agenda, what Brian Fons has done. And this is why I created my show, because all the political things they have done to our soaps is wrong. Oh, and when you were talking last time about, you know, there's not a lot of black people in soaps, I did my little research for you, and I forgot to tell you that Days of Our Life does have African-American people on Days of Our Life, and I forgot to tell you that soap does.
Okay, that's fine. You can have, that's fine, but look at the ratio that's given.
I know. I agree with you.
I mean, it's just, look.
So what was your question? So if you were tuning in for the first time, would you like fall in love, or what were you saying earlier? Something about
let's say this. If I was tuning, if I didn't know what was good back then,
okay,
and I would have just start watching General Hospital now,
yeah,
I would automatically in my mind say crap, and I wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah.
But
well,
I know what was good back. That's just me. I don't know about you guys. I don't watch soap operas. Okay, that's just not my thing. But
yeah.
The reason I got into it is because when I was like in middle school, I had gotten sent home for something that I didn't do. But so part of my punishment was to sit down and watch the show. And at first I was like, okay, I gotta watch a soap opera. But then I kind of got really into it. You know what I mean? And that's what started the whole thing. And it's like. And the reason I got into it is because I cared about what's going on, not just the relationships, but like the whole war that Sonny had with the other, you know, the mob bosses. You're like, man, you know, why do I care so much?
Because it's good.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But see, once you get the audience to care, your job is done as far as when you're making entertainment. Like, look at what James Cameron did with Avatar. I mean, seriously, have you guys seen that movie?
I haven't seen it, but I want to.
It's a CGI fest. It's a special effects fest. But he gets you. That's what James Cameron's good at. The guy gets you to care about. Watch Terminator 1 and 2. The guy gets you to care about what's going on that screen. And you know what? It's very underrated, because that's very hard to do, especially if you're a filmmaker.
I've heard about Avatar. People leave the movie really sad and unhappy.
A friend of mine was telling me that people were leaving the show depressed, the movie. I really don't want to give anything away, but...
What movie?
Avatar. Friend of mine was saying that she was talking to a lot of people who've seen it. They were walking away depressed watching that movie, and...
Why?
I don't really want to give anything away.
I don't know. We don't want to give it away.
It has something to do with the ending of the movie, but I guess you'd have to go see it to find out. But
right. Well, see, again, well, yeah, that's true. But see, it's like, you know, back to, like, getting the audience to care. Like, have you guys seen, like, the Indiana Jones movies? Have you guys seen those?
Yes.
Tell me, did you guys were absolutely invested in the first three films as far as getting that treasure?
Yes.
I liked the first one. Actually, I would just really like the first one. I really didn't watch the other ones. I don't know why.
I get what you're saying. I have my favorites too.
I watched the last one too, but
even, you know, in those films that came out back then, it's like these guys, they slit their throats, they break their backs to get the treasure. So when they get the treasure, you're like, man, they got it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're on their side. But when you watch the latest one, what is it called? Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. People left the cinema in the middle of the movie.
What?
They were leaving the cinema.
I liked it.
Why?
No. That movie was abysmal for multiple reasons.
Well,
but look.
I mean, because I don't know. I liked it. In my opinion, I liked it. So, I mean, because I liked the fact that Marion was back in that one too, maybe. I don't know.
Was she really Marion, though? I mean, look at her performance. This is what I like to do.
Well,
I genuinely believe, like, some people are so wrapped up in the nostalgia of certain things. It's like these
guys,
they're not picking things apart. Yes, she came back, the actress came back, but she really didn't seem like Marion. She was not Marion. I'm sorry. She just looked happy to be there. Watch the film again.
Well, you know, I don't go to movies to analyze them. I just go to the movies just because it looks good, and I liked it. So I mean, forgive me, but I liked that movie.
No, I'm not trying to.
But I understand what you're trying to say. I mean, like, movies today are not like they were, like, you know, back in the day, you know, 80s or 70s or, you know, even the earlier times, you know, the Barrymore years or something, you know.
I just think it's all one big massive ball. I mean, you can't look at the problem of General Hospital and then not look at the problem of, you know, big cinema, you know, the big screen. I mean,
when we're discussing it, the product is there, is the team, like, for their just. They're promoting for the teens because it's the teens that go out there and watch the movie. So that's probably why they have the movies that they make now, you know? I mean,
when
I was a teenager, the movies when I was a teenager, I'm trying to think of a movie. I like The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, The Breakfast Club and all that.
Yeah, the movies that they make today maybe for teenagers aren't like they did back in those days. Like, Can't Buy Me Love movie was a good movie, a teen movie, and I cared about the characters, you know, like you're saying, you have to, like, care about the characters to bring you in, you know.
I agree it's like a sign of the times, but, like,
it's a sign of the times, that's what it is.
It is a sign of the times, and some films are marketed in a way that reflect, to cater to, you know, this teenage generation, but I mean, I'm in the firm belief that if you took the – and it is a risk. If you took the risk to go back to the golden age of cinema and show these guys quality stuff, they would like it. I mean, seriously, they watch films like Transformers, okay, and they forget about it two days later they forget about it. So it's like, okay, you got your box office $10 from, you know, $20 million kids or whatever, but it's like – I mean, people literally hate that movie. People hate that movie. I mean, I asked Transformers fans, people who say they like the movie, what the movie was about, and they can't even give you a response. So you have movies on the flip side like Dark Knight, which is made by a proper filmmaker, which they like the film, and they should like the film, but they still can't tell you why they liked it. And the reason is because people have been so desensitized from quality cinema that they don't know why they like good movies when they see good movies. And this is why I say it's all one big massive ball. Like, people need to really get back to the basics when you're talking about entertaining someone, whether or not it's a soap opera or a movie or even music. I mean, don't spend 1 week to come out with a rap song and then all of a sudden it goes platinum and it's a hit. No, Soulja Boy is garbage. There's only a few proper, like, you know Drake, right? You guys know the artist Drake?
Yeah.
This guy, he had 3 hits off of MySpace before he even had a record deal. That's because he had talent. How many guys out there like Drake now?
How many guys what?
How many artists out there are like Drake now? There aren't that many who started music that way.
Yeah.
50 Cent is a joker. That guy, no. That guy's a joker. What? He's one of the hottest guys out there. He's one of the hottest guys out there. So, in my opinion, it's not about talent. It's about names. Names sell. Talent doesn't sell anymore. If your name is Megan Fox, you're in a movie. I can have an actress 100 times better. I can have an actress 100 times better. She will not get the role of a Megan Fox. It won't happen.
No, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I can I can write a script for a Superman movie that's 100 times better than the last one that came out, but because my name isn't Bryan Singer, it won't even get across in the
great
success.
I have to go. I talked to a lot of people that didn't like that movie. It was a crap movie.
It was ridiculous.
The Return.
It was a disgrace.
So, I think if they were to put, like, I watched the Smallville show, and I love him. I think maybe if they were to do another Superman movie, bring in Tom Welling, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I know which show you're talking about, but look at the how that were you watching from the beginning?
I was watching from the beginning of that show, but
now,
yeah,
look,
the
look,
show is kind of
yeah,
not
look
the mythology
at from
of
the beginning to what happened to now. I mean, it's they've lost something critical.
Yeah, well, yeah, because now they moved it to a new time and a new channel and everything, but still do it going strong for the Friday night. But.
Will, I will really love it if you called back on Wednesday, because we are beginning to like you at first. I wanted to kill you. Askel.
Because now that I guess we've talked to you more, we're starting to get your thinking going, you know.
Yeah.
Because I have to agree with you on a lot of points you made tonight that, you know, that's not, the movies are not the way that they used to be. I used to go to the movies all the time when I was
exactly,
young.
Exactly.
I do.
Breakfast
Club was a really, my sister took me for my birthday to see a double feature, like The Breakfast Club and The Can't Buy Me Love. And no, I wanted to see him again, you know, or Dirty Dancing, or, you know, that was a good movie. That
right.
was the movie that we were talking about.
Okay,
so.
I have a question for you. What did you think about the Tonight Show and Conan? O'Brien. What did you think about the whole Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno mess? Because, you know, I think 5 years ago, I knew it. This was going to be a mess. I'm like, why are they talking about 5 years from now? You know, I thought 5 years ago, I'm like, why are they planning 5 years away? I mean, I thought 5 years ago when they made this announcement, I thought this could be disaster for both of them.
You know what? In my opinion, I never don't watch those night shows anymore. I used to when Johnny Carson was on. I used to be a big Johnny Carson fan and you know, and then I watched Jay Leno after a while, but then I stopped watching the night shows. But
yeah, I think everything, as far as like, when they're doing like the interviews with the actors, you can tell it's like everything is just staged, and it's like everything is just fake. So it's like if you're gonna be, I mean, just watch some of the talk shows back then. Like go on YouTube, look at the interview that Marlon Brando had on the Dick Cavett Show. That guy was 100% real. And that was like, what, 10, 15 years before I was born.
Did you ever watch Johnny Carson, or did you ever watch clips of Johnny Carson, like on YouTube or whatever?
I've seen a few.
Johnny Carson, I grew up watching Johnny Carson. Me and my mom would watch that show all the time.
We only have a minute left, so are you going to call us and beg us on Wednesday? Because if you don't, it would not be like, so it would be really crying without you.
Okay, that's fine. We can do that. And I'm seeing in the chat room, Brandy 1, no to Justice League, please, no.
No to Justice Are they
no
supposed to
Justice
the Justice League.
League
movie?
Please,
what?
God, no. No, that fell apart. No.
Okay.
That
I read
will
never somewhere,
happen.
Somebody told me they're supposed to do a new Superman movie, but I don't know. Somebody told me
that,
at work.
Actually,
but
that whole franchise is on hold now, because what Bryan Singer did, it is completely on hold.
Okay. Well, that's good. Maybe they could bring in, like, a really, really good director. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
But we'll talk about that on Wednesday.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things I need to say about that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you're not the only one. I go to work, somebody that I know at work, she's a real Superman fan, and he hated the new Superman movie.
I mean,
we have 90 seconds left.
90 seconds.
I don't understand how you can fail. Superman is like the
character
of DC Comics. You actually have to try and fail to actually fail at the box office. The guy took it so low.
And you
know
what? You know, I sort of feel because Christopher Reeve was in it, maybe that just means...
Yes, exactly.
You're not going to find a Christopher.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
Maybe I'm...
That was their first mistake. Don't get someone who looks that much like him.
Exactly.
That was their first mistake. That actor, he looks like Reeve. It's the same guy, but he has a 10th talent. A 10th talent.
Exactly.
Why would
you
do that? Why would you do that? That is stupid.
By the way, that actor who was playing Superman was on a soap opera. Just thought I was for that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He was on One Life to Live for a couple of months. I mean, not that I think you're hard on soap opera people, but I just thought, I mean,
I've only watched one. I'm not going to say I'm not hard on them.
I just thought no one can ever play Christopher Reeves. I just thought that was
Welling, though, has done a really good job playing him, you know, playing Superman or Superboy, if you want to. Now he's going into the Superman thing,
But that's on TV.
At first they came out and said, you know, it's a prequel to the show. But as far as continuity wise, it doesn't make sense. But I still love it though.
They've totally killed the mythology of Superman.
It doesn't make sense. But if you're gonna do Superman now, you have to rewrite the scrapbook. You have to make hard rules as to what this guy can and cannot do. Jim Caviezel is Superman. I've said it here.
Wasn't he considered? Yes,
and because of politics, they didn't choose him. That director, I don't know what's wrong with him. Look, I'm going to say a very controversial thing, but, and I'm not... I'm not against gays or homosexuals, but, like, the fact that that director was gay had a lot to do with how that movie turned out.
Oh, really?
I didn't even know he was gay until you said it.
Oh, my gosh.
He's gay. Look, I'm not going to say that. Listen, it's just looking – it's not a prejudice thing. If you're an executive in Hollywood, it's not a prejudice thing to look at a director's lifestyle when you're choosing him for a project.
Uh-huh.
Watch Superman Returns again. The whole movie was homoerotic. Watch X-Men 2. No, I mean, seriously, watch the movie. It's Superman, not Super Boy Scout. It's Superman.
Okay.
Superman. Have you seen X-Men 2?
Yeah, me too.
The same director did that movie. Now, do you remember that scene where Iceman is trying to tell his parents that he's a mutant and isn't that very reminiscent to a young boy coming out of the closet? This is why, guys, it's not a prejudice thing to look at a director and say, okay, this guy, he's gay, he might have a... It's not a prejudice thing at all because it affects...
The best
directors are going to have elements of their lives in their movie.
Yeah.
Now here's the flip side. Here's the clincher. That could have worked in his favor so well.
Mm-hmm.
He just got it wrong. Now, listen, gays, what are they're looking for? They're looking for acceptance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Superman is an outsider. He wants to be accepted by humanity.
Oh, true or false? I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Now, it's just he got it wrong. This guy went to Comic-Con 2005, okay, New York, before the movie was released. This guy had all the answers. This guy knew everything. But he just got it wrong. Same with Joel Schumacher. He's gay. He messed up Batman and Robin before they rebooted the franchise. He messed it up big time. But just because he messed it up, I'm not going to sit there and say he's a bad director because this guy made Flatliner. He made Flatliners.
He made
Phantom of the Opera. You're going to sit there and say that he's a
bad
director? I mean, no, he's not bad. No. I mean, it's just he got it wrong. Some guys, they're not suitable. And this is why I've said, if you're going to do Superman now, there's only one man that can do it. There's only one man, and that's Mel Gibson. Give Mel Gibson.
Oh, Mel Gibson. Oh, yeah.
Give Give Mel Gibson the Superman contract, and people—I mean, it's going to be so good. People don't know, wouldn't know what to do.
They're
not
going
to know what to do. Give him, and he will blow your mind with a Superman film. I don't think anyone can match what Donner did in '78, but
Mel Gibson. Yeah.
Give Mel Gibson the Superman contract, and he will go wild with it because he's hungry. He's hungry to do something like that. Some of the best directors out there, like when Spielberg was hungry, he came out with Smackers.
He's like one of the best. I mean, Schindler's List.
Right, exactly.
You know?
When Bryan Singer was hungry, he came out with The Usual Suspects, one of the best films ever made.
I'm one that hasn't seen that movie. I guess I'm going to have to go rent it.
You need to do that.
Or Netflix it or something.
There are some directors, like, once you get comfortable, you lose it. Look at George Lucas. And when we're talking about integrity as a fan, George Lucas, I honestly believe that this guy, he has some sort of weird antagonism towards the fans. He wants to tell them, listen, guys, this isn't your Star Wars. This is my Star Wars. This guy can do whatever he wants.
Okay.
And this links in with General Hospital, too. These guys are going to do what they want to do. They don't want the fans to know that they're in control. And this is what Hollywood is good at. They don't want guys to know that they're in control. So when Spider-Man, the franchise, fails, right?
Yeah.
And they're rebooting it now. They're not going to actually acknowledge that they messed up in the last film. They're just going to say, oh yeah, we're just going to redo it. No, you're not getting my money again. No.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, it's almost like, and I don't know if you agree with me, which I'm scared to say this, but like they did with the Batman franchise, you know, I mean, because, you know, you had a lot of Batmans playing different, you know, the Batman character, I mean, because you have Val Kilmer and those Clooney and another guy.
I think Michael Keaton, he did that. He was the first one to do that. He did a really good job.
Yes, he did. He did. What they did was, they reinvented Batman. See, I don't know if you guys know about the 10-year trend as far as, you know, like when Smackers of films came out. Like 2009, I thought Avatar was going to do it. I mean, it was good, but I don't think it's going to be one of those.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I mean, it was good.
Was it true at the end? Was it, because my friend told me when people got, because it was all a dream at the end. Was it true? Because when my friend was saying people were walking out depressed because it turned out to be all of a dream or something.
It was all of a dream?
People were dreaming it. I guess he was saying that they were walking out depressed that it was all a dream or something. I guess the character, I don't know what she meant by that, but she was telling me that it was all a dream.
I didn't get that at the end.
No, you didn't get that. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to go watch it for myself.
Yeah, you're going to, I didn't know. That's not,
happened.
I don't know where that came from, but
I don't either. She just told me. Okay.
I mean, look at 2009 Avatar. I thought it was gonna be a snacker. 10 years before that, we had 1999. We had The Matrix.
Uh huh.
10 years before that, we had 1989. Then we had Batman 1. Like, and it's just a trend.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
10 years before that, we had Superman 1. But see, some of the greatest films that are ever made, and even when you look at, it's like you have to take a risk. You can't play it safe. Matrix 1 was a huge risk, so much of a risk that Will Smith turned it down. You talk to him now, he'll say that's the worst mistake he's ever made.
Okay,
but he turned it down because it was a risk. But once you take that risk and it's received well, you have a cult classic. Matrix will never be forgotten. Best film of this decade is Gladiator.
That was a really good movie. I love that movie.
Hands down, best film of this decade. 2009 was a disaster when you talk about films as an overall. It was a disaster.
I cannot think of one in 2009 that I was even happy about.
I didn't really go to the movies this year.
You know what's crazy?
I went to the movies to see, was it last year or no? I actually
I cannot think of one.
I saw The Proposal with Sandra Bullock. I like that.
Right.
You know?
It's crazy.
Well, girly movie, but yeah, I liked that movie. Now it seems like these days I only go to a movie if it looks really, really good. Like Mel Gibson's coming, looks like he's coming out with a good movie.
Exactly.
You
see, that's what's going to happen. The bubble's going to burst. People are going to stop going. Exactly the way the music industry tanked, that's what's going to happen to the movie industry if these guys don't change up. Because, listen, 2009, I'm a fan of Watchmen. I'm a fan of G.I. Joe. I'm a fan of Street Fighter. I'm a fan of Terminator. I'm a fan of, I'm a Transformers fan. I grew up watching the cartoon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch
any of
those movies.
Did you like the Terminator movie?
No. I did not. I didn't go to the cinema to watch any of those movies. Now, listen, Terminator Salvation, the problem with that, listen, McGee, he's not this guy. I mean, the action scenes were well directed, but it doesn't even look or feel like a Terminator movie. First of all, Terminator ended back in 81. T1, T2, that's it. You don't need anything after that.
Yeah, you know what, I have to say I agree with you there because I do. After Terminator 2, I was like, oh, God, I forgot what they were about now, the Terminator 3 and whatever.
I mean, it's over. The whole thing about Terminator is that the war, the whole John Connor thing was in your imagination. They showed you bits and clips, but the whole purpose was to stop that war from happening. When you go back and you now show the war, it takes away from the whole thing.
Exactly.
And it's crazy because the guy that did Avatar did the first two Terminator. He wrote the whole thing. He did the first two Terminator films.
Oh,
but after
really?
He left the project, look at how bad it turned out. It's all about the choice of guy. As soon as you pick the wrong director to be in charge of something, you've already lost before the movie even came out. How do you go from Charlie's Angels Full Throttle to a Terminator film? Terminator. Terminator is one of the largest franchises in Hollywood history. And you're going to get the guy that did Charlie's Angels? No. No.
Do you think maybe
no.
if James Cameron had done it again, like Terminator, that he could have did it better? Do you think if you wanted
to?
He
would have done something, but I think, I come to feel that if you would have asked James Cameron that, I mean, he would honestly tell you that it's over. It's like.
Yeah, I think he would too.
I think he'd
be surprised that they were even going to do something like that, you know?
No. Once you're in that industry, no, he wasn't surprised at all. It's all about cash. And you know what's funny?
Yeah.
Two real estate guys bought the rights to the Terminator franchise and released the last movie that came out.
Oh, really?
And guys who don't even know about Terminator, you don't even know why it's good.
I know.
And then you bought, because you're big real estate agent guys,
you have
boatloads of money, you bought the franchise and you hired a director and you hired the guy from the Batman movies thinking that would do something, and then you release a movie and you expect it to be a success. Because,
you know, Terminator, the first Terminator is a movie you could watch over and over again. I mean,
exactly.
I still watch it when it comes out on, to me, that's going to be the only one that I really, really, truly love, the first Terminator.
Exactly. And what's
you
funny,
know,
what's,
you'll never forget that.
Exactly.
You know?
And what's crazy is now those guys have gone bankrupt and they're trying to sell off the rights.
Oh, really?
To me, that's just poetic justice for me. I mean, these guys, my point is the guys in Hollywood, they don't know what they're doing. And it links in with General Hospital. They are so disconnected for the fans. Like, okay, let's say you're a director, okay, and you're about to do the next Superman movie. The kind of conversation that we're having now is a conversation that you need to have with fans at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
A year before you even write the script. Like, if you were handed the contract to do the next Superman movie,
mm-hmm.
you don't. How much do you really know about Superman? You don't know too much, right? I'm assuming. You don't know, like, when it comes to certain mythologies, and you know the
I
main know, characters.
I know, no, yeah. I never read the comics, so I just watched the movies growing
right.
up, like, when
so
I was a little girl. Yeah.
You know you need to consult with someone before you.
Yes.
Okay, but see, this is what I would do. Now, I wouldn't just talk to the guys that are thrown in my face by the powers that be in Hollywood. Okay, yeah, I granted you guys get paid to tell me some things about Superman, but the guys who really are in the know, are the fans that go to Comic-Con.
Yes.
You talk to those guys before
you
don't ignore, and here's what you do. You you cater to them. Don't worry. Don't worry about making Superman likable so that 3-year-olds will go in there and that women would go in there. No, you just do what Stallone did with the last Rambo film. He focused on that small group of guys that was with him from the 80s.
Okay.
He said, I'm gonna cater those guys because those guys have been in there with with me from day one.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna cater to those guys and I'm gonna ignore what everybody else. And look at how good the movie did. It was number 2 at the box office for like 4 weeks.
Really?
And Rambo coming out after so many years should not even be in the top 10.
Yes, exactly. That's what when I heard that it was coming out, I'm like, wait a minute, you know. But then I was actually surprised that it was in the top 10, you know.
When you're telling me this,
it's like now I know why, you know.
And Rambo 5 is about to come out.
Oh, really?
And for Rambo to come out, Rocky had to come out first, and Rocky did well, so then they took a chance on Rambo.
Yeah, I liked the latest. Were you talking about the latest Rocky that he did, right?
Right.
That one.
See, Stallone knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Here's what I say. If you don't get guys in, like the whole Watchmen debacle, Zack Snyder doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't. I mean, you watch 300 where, you know, it's a very stupid film where everybody shouted, okay? And then you're going to give this guy the most complicated comic to ever hit the stand. They've been trying to release that movie for 20 years. Gilliam, have you guys seen Brazil, the movie Brazil?
I haven't seen that, no.
What about 12 Monkeys? Have you guys seen 12 Monkeys?
I've seen, that's with Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that.
Fantastic movie, very good movie. This guy is one of the best filmmakers out there.
Yeah.
He was pitched. Warner Brothers tried to get him to make the Watchmen movie back in the late 80s, and he said he couldn't do it. This is one of the best guys out there. He said it's too difficult to do. And they give it to Zack Snyder, the simpleton. This guy, he destroyed the movie. These guys, they don't know what they're doing. They're looking for actors, directors, writers that will just bend over and do exactly what you want them to do. And if you're a businessman in Hollywood, I get it. You don't want your industry to be filled with just talented people because then you can't control them.
Mm-hmm.
You want guys like Megan Fox because they actually need you as life support to exist. So they're going to do exactly what that you tell them to do. But if you get a young Marlon Brando, you can't control that person.
Exactly.
In the end, he's going to realize he's talented, and he can go off and do his own thing. Case in point, you guys, you know that last, not the last Denzel movie that came out, the one before that with the train, what's it called?
Wait, the one with John Travolta?
Yes. That movie.
Okay.
What's it called? I don't know if I've seen it.
I know what you're talking about, I know. I didn't see I was going to, but.
Listen, the movie wasn't good, but the point I'm trying to make is that when they signed him on, I'm not going to throw the amount of money they gave him, but they signed him on to the movie for a ridiculous amount of money in the millions, okay? It actually fell out of production.
What?
So when it got back into production, guess what they had to do? The amount that they signed him on to be in the movie for, they had to pay him again.
Oh my gosh, really?
See, you can't do that with actors. As much you can love Twilight up and down, you can't do that with any of the actors in that movie.
Denzel Washington is an actor. I know what you're saying. He's an actor, you know.
Yes.
You could put him in anything. He could just act his tops off or whatever, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you can't do that. You can only do that with certain people, and that's what Hollywood. They're trying to phase out all of these guys now because Hollywood is controlled by businessmen now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not controlled by the studio heads who thought of they thought of money back then, you know, when things were good, but they thought of it in a way that we have to make money by making good films.
Oh, you
Today,
know what?
They,
I, you know what movie that they're redoing is The Clash of the Titans.
Oh, no.
What?
Me and my friend were talking about that the other night. That's a classic movie,
yes,
you know, and they better not ruin that.
Listen, all I'm going to say is don't go in there with high expectations.
I know, no,
you're gonna
I know.
You're gonna
we
be
saw
disappointed.
Some previews, and I saw some previews. From the previews I saw, it looked okay, but like you said, you know, they might have just made that disaster, you know?
You know, the thing I was trying to say on the air, but and I wasn't clear. The reason why I don't like Jonathan Jackson had nothing wrong with his acting. It was how General Hospital brought him back on.
And I agree.
His acting now is a reflection of the poor writing they have.
Exactly. Yeah, but let's fire Greg Vaughn. Let's make him lie to the fans and say, what? Greg is staying. That happened in July, but in September, everyone, I've been let go. They fired me, and we are bringing back Jonathan Jackson. For me, it was like, in the first day, how they promoted him. There wasn't a lucky. And the first day he was back, lucky, lucky, lucky. And I'm like, if I hear that name one more time, I'm going to kill myself. Not real, but...
No, and, you know, that could have been pulled off if they had done it right. See, the thing is now is, like, you look at that character of Lucky.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like they're kind of two completely different characters. Like,
thank you.
You know what would have been, you know, this is where the creativity has to come in, and the show is just lacking that in abundance. But like, kind of like what happened with Michael, you know how he had gotten shot?
Yeah.
And then it's something like an event like that happened,
yes,
where this guy's out of commission for a while, but then you bring back a completely different character. That's what I think should, because if you look at the Lucky now,
because the next
it's
day
like,
you see Tim Bath, Greg Vaughn was you yesterday, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just the Lucky of today. I mean, it's just so much has happened. It's like the Lucky of today, it doesn't really match what we had before. And that's what's kind of.
Thank you.
Now, I do believe that this Lucky is the better actor when we're talking
I agree with you there, too.
I agree with you.
Jonathan Jackson. He's a three-time Emmy winner, and he was doing really good with in the movies with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right, I'm looking at what I'm seeing from the actor. Now, I don't care. Now, awards really, like the Oscars are
tough
now. I don't really care about awards much because the greatest actor
today.
The greatest actor living today, Gary Oldman, still hasn't won an Oscar, and it's ridiculous. But
I totally agree with you there.
Oscars are a joke now. Ever since Crash won Best Picture in 2004,
I
quit.
I know. I was like,
that movie is absurd, and I quit. I can't do it anymore. But look, the fact that the Oscars have 10 Best Picture nominations this year.
Oh, do they really?
Should set everyone on edge. I mean, people shouldn't even watch it anymore. It's just, it's commercialized.
Wait, who does?
Oscars are like, they're now like Hollywood. It's a promotional campaign.
Yeah.
So they're gonna give awards to people that will increase their viewership, which is why Heath Ledger was a lock for a win last year.
I knew
now,
you were
I'm
gonna get
that. I'm not, no, listen, I'm not saying he shouldn't have won. He should have.
But it was almost...
I can't say that he would have won if he hadn't died last year.
If he had, that's what I know. I agree too.
That's what I thought.
I think they just gave it to him because he died.
And that's how I was feeling.
And the whole movie got snubbed. I mean, how do you nominate the Reader?
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to know.
Before the Dark Knight, Dark Knight was a proper film. Listen, I saw Dark Knight. Now, when you talk about action films, right? How do you know how difficult it is for a movie to come out in this climate, 2009, that rivals Terminator 2 Judgment Day? I was watching Dark Knight in 08 when it came out, and I was seeing the bat pog news on that motorcycle. I was like, man, this reminds me of T2.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is actually, listen, for a film to come out that reminds me of Terminator 2 Judgment Day, that is an accomplishment. That is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible, and it took a lot for that movie to come out because first Christopher Nolan had to prove himself with the first Batman film.
Mm-hmm.
Then they gave him more leeway. They said, okay, well, this guy actually knows what he's doing, so go wild with it. So what you experience in The Dark Knight is a movie without a lot of studio interference. So Christopher Nolan had his brother write the script. He had his brother write the script. He had his wife is co-producer of the movie.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this guy, he had like –
like on the first film, you know, he had like, what, 50% control? But on The Dark Knight, on the sequel, he had like 80%. I mean, the guy, I mean, this is what happens when you cut out the middleman. This, like, when you start out with a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Too many people get involved, because this is what happened. This is what happened with Terminator. You have a somewhat good idea. But then you have the screenwriters that want to put in their thing. They got the producers that want to put in their thing. The director that wants to put in their thing. But everyone has to do what the producers tell them because they're the money men.
Yeah.
Which is the two real estate. And in this case, the producers were the real estate guys who didn't really know why Terminator was good. If you don't know why something, if you don't know why something is good, how can you expect people to? I mean, how can you expect people to react well to it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the phone's going to cut us off at any moment.
Okay.
Well, you can call in on Wednesday.
Yeah. What time? What time is it?
At the same time, 8 o'clock.
Where
right?
are you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Southern California.
Oh, okay. I'm on the East Coast.
Oh, are you? Oh, I'm just... well, it's been raining here. We're having a storm, but I still don't envy people that live in the East Coast. At the
right. I want to come to Seattle. Like, I have a friend out there. She's telling me to come. Is it like, what's the city? Polsbo? Where is that?
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. That's like 30 minutes away from me. You have to take a ferry to get to Polsbo. But they have so many good bakeries at Polsbo.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me on bakeries.
Sorry, buddy.
But
everything that you're saying now that I think about, that's what, now I know why I don't go to the movies. You know, there's nothing, I wouldn't want to spend $11 to go see a movie.
Exactly.
And that's another thing.
Exactly.
And they moved up the movie prices, by the way.
On top of that, they're going to cheat us out of more money.
Exactly. And on top of like petrol, like fuel and all, I mean, seriously, I'm very wary about who I give my money to when it comes to films.
Hopefully 2010, because Mel Gibson's coming out. I saw that. Looks like a good movie to see. You know, now every time I see a preview, like, I'm looking for the actors of, like, Mel Gibson or Liam Neeson or, you know?
Now, listen, there are a few films to look out for in 2009. There's that film. You definitely want to see The Expendables. What other films? There's not that many, but what else is coming out? Inception, Christopher Nolan's Inception. You definitely want to see that.
Okay.
And I have, I mean, there aren't that many, but I'll have more, you know, hopefully.
For 2010. Okay.
Right. Hopefully 2010 will be better. We'll see, but.
And I will forgive you.
You like Meryl Streep? Do you her movies like Julie and Joe? I mean, I haven't seen those, but what about Meryl Streep?
I just saw her in Complicated.
It's Complicated with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, and it was funny. Oh, my God, there was such an inappropriate part of the movie. But I thought she was good. I mean, it wasn't like a heavy drama, but it was a comedy. I thought it was funny. But since I have no acting ability when it comes to Spinelli, what do I know? According to him.
Oh, no, don't go there. But yeah, Meryl Streep, she's a proper actress.
I love her. She could do any language. You get her to do an Australian accent and a German accent, and she could, you know, do it.
I agree, but she went to
London and studied at the Royal Academy or whatever you call it.
Right. See, only certain actors can do that, but I would say this, but it's like, she knows what roles to go for. What an actor can do somewhat depends on the proper environment that the director sets. Like, case in point, Cate Blanchett is a great actress.
Yes.
But look at what she did in Crystal Skull. I mean, her accent was terrible. I'm sorry. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say she's a bad actress now.
Yeah.
It's just her environment was terrible. And you can relate things like that to General Hospital. And also, you look at, I mean, seriously, you can. I mean, it's like, so the young lady who was on before, I don't know if you guys, I didn't get her name, but she made a good point where I can't really call these guys bad actors and bad actresses, so I apologize on that. I can't really say that the actor that portrays Spinelli and Lou
Bradford
and I can't call them bad, because to be fair, I don't know what these guys can do given a proper script.
Yes.
So
yes.
I will accept that.
Yes,
but on the
yeah.
flip side, these guys haven't proven themselves yet. So for her to call them superb, which is what she used, in my opinion, is just as ridiculous. That's just my opinion. Now,
I agree.
So, I mean, if they can prove themselves, fine. But it's like, see, like actors like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, those guys have proved themselves.
Okay, yeah.
Now, listen,
seriously,
you have two of the greatest actors alive today in a movie called Righteous Kill. And the movie was abysmal. It was terrible.
I know.
You know, I
haven't
seen
that. Have you guys
seen
that movie?
Yes,
oh,
I saw it. I thought it was terrible.
Stay away.
Okay. But I want to bring up another point, and I want us to talk about on Wednesday. They had Zane Franco on General Hospital. I don't know if you caught it. And the only freaking name I could call the son of a bitch was, sorry,
was Franco.
Do you know why they do that, though? No, they do that because they truly believe, like, they have to hold the audience's hand through everything.
What?
We're not stupid.
What?
It's like I just don't get it. And you can see it in films as well. It's like some of the, and to be honest, I see it in General Hospital constantly. It's like, guys, I mean, you don't need suggesting things. It can be far more effective than just spelling them out.
Yeah.
Don't you know, force it down our throats, on a certain theme, because then it just gets sloppy and it just doesn't fit well. I mean, it's
but
like
they did have to call him Franco. I mean, I'm sorry,
I guess because that's his last name, Franco, James Franco.
Listen,
they could have been.
I've got my problems with that actor, but I'm not.
You didn't do anything for the ratings for him.
I've got big issues with that actor, man.
Oh,
and
you know what?
I really hope he doesn't think he's some kind of big shot on that show, because
okay,
he isn't.
You know what? You know what?
There, no big actor would go on to soap. I mean,
you know what?
If he's such a big actor.
Why is he there?
I
ask yourself this.
I don't know.
Why is he there?
I would, you know what? I would love it.
The ratings or
yeah,
thought.
I would love it.
The greenery.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what?
That's why he's there.
I would love it on one day if you would say, what's your problem with that? That would make my whole night. Because then you and I are not debating each other and killing each other on air, because I don't like Franco. And when they announced this guy was on there, at first I did not know who they were talking about.
Do you see how they try to hype people's brains as to thinking that this guy is something?
Yes.
And it's like, wait a minute. You hyped this guy. We showed up on the show. And then what you've given me so far is what all the hype was for?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
He played a freaking serial killer and whatever, you know, or artist or... Well, he is an artist in real life, so that's probably why they wrote that in there. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I know. I know.
Bottom line, guys, there are people out there, people on that show that can save that show. But the problem is, it's just they are not, and it's all over the place. You can look at characters like Sonny and Jason. You know where these guys can take the character.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Even if, not just in soaps, but also, you look at the way the last James Bond movie went. Look at how Daniel Craig portrayed the last James Bond as opposed to Casino Royale, the one that came out before that.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
He's handicapped by the times. It's like the times that are, you know, the current Hollywood and the way the movies are making now, it's like it's not going to allow him to be the kind of James Bond that he can be. He hinted at it at Casino Royale, which I think was really good.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, I mean, he wasn't James Bond. He was Jason Bourne. I mean, what was all this? and oh my God, did you watch? I mean, you've seen it, right? You've seen the last James Bond movie, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Can you remind me what the last one was? What was it called?
Quantum of Solace. ridiculous
title.
Oh,
okay, now, yeah.
You know when I knew the movie was going to be bad sitting in that theater, okay, with my popcorn and drink? You know when I knew the movie was going to be bad?
When?
The opening song that Alicia Keys sings.
Oh, my God, you do.
That song was terrible, and she should be ashamed of herself. She should be ashamed of herself for putting that on a Bond film. I was like, wait, is this the opening song? Even the one that Madonna did, even that one had something. This one was terrible. And I was like, oh, this film is going to be terrible. It's going to be bad.
See, I don't even remember what Quantum of Solace was about now. I mean, you know, it's like you said, you're going to forget.
Okay, you know what?
Exactly. But you can look at movies like GoldenEye, and you know exactly what it was about.
Okay, by the way, you asked me what I thought was a good movie, and I'm going to tell you, and if you say this is, if I don't know what real acting is, then I'm really up the creek with you. what about Titanic? What about, you know, the last couple of minutes with, you know, Kate Winslet and Leo?
Oh, Titanic?
You know,
I was one of those people that only saw it once. I didn't go, but I don't know. I mean.
What did you say? I mean, I'm asking him because, you know, he said I didn't know any good acting ability.
It's not my it's not my kind of movie, but the movie was good. I mean you can't ignore good filmmaking. Even like this, I was forced to watch The Notebook by my ex-girlfriend. Okay. I didn't want to watch it. I knew it was a chick flick going in. Okay, but I sat down. I watched this movie. I was like, damn, this is a good movie.
Now look, James Garner in it, too.
And we have other movies like Brokeback Mountain. You haven't seen it. Look, I watching a movie about two gay cowboys is not my thing, okay?
Maybe that's why I haven't watched it.
Now, what's sitting down, when I'm talking about looking at films that, you know, that get you to care and have character development and have a good plot and have good drama and all that stuff, I'm sitting down, I'm watching this thing, I'm like, man, this is fantastic. This movie is fantastic. That director knows what he's doing.
Really? So, okay.
That movie was fantastic.
Okay, I've heard really good reviews about that movie. I just haven't seen it yet. I guess I don't want to sit down and see two gay guys in a movie.
Right. I was the same way. I mean, that's just.
No, I understand. No, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm starting to like you. Even at school, the last time you called, I was, thinking about, calling Sonny or Jason, and, I won't say the word.
What?
But with Steve Burton and Maurice Bernard, like you said, if they were to get something juicy, if they were to be written like they were years ago, they could pull it off. Is that what you're trying to say?
Listen, you know what? You need to watch the show and look at, there are certain things in there, and it's hidden, and it's hard to catch, but you can see the direction that they can take it. But they won't do it because
It's like Friday when Sonny and Franco was in a scene, and Sonny had the gun on Franco, and he was ready to shoot the bastard, and he was so ready, and you could see in his eyes, but he didn't do it, but he wanted to do it, and I'm like, the old Sonny, before he was...
Just look at some of the mob scenarios that are now. I mean, it's like some of it is just so ridiculous, and they wouldn't have dared have the audacity to do that back in the day. Even though you knew that, okay, Sonny's the main guy, right? And nothing's gonna happen to him. Even if you watch some of those mob scenes back in the day, they did it in a way where it's like, okay, Sonny isn't untouchable. The guy even got shot. You're at the point where you're like, okay, wait a minute. I know. You're at the point where it's like, okay, yeah, I know this guy's the main guy, and I know, he's not going to leave the show, but, man, this scene actually makes me think that this guy could actually die.
Yes, and,
you watch General Hospital now, this guy is untouchable. This guy is completely on top of the situation, man. No one can convict this man. No one. You get that lawyer, whatever her name is,
Diane.
To come in there, spit around some gibberish that doesn't make sense, and this man is all of a sudden, and Mac this guy would have been fired years ago.
I know the show, General Hospital, is not the way it used to be, and I DVR'd it a while ago, but I had to take it off. It was just not, I can't even fast forward through it. It makes me sick.
And seriously, all of the issues that we just laid out, what does it come down to? You're taking our intelligence for granted.
Exactly. Yes, you
think that we're stupid. That's why you're putting this stuff out. And this is where it kind of gets into steep waters here. It's like, when I'm talking about integrity as a fan, you should be against this because you're a fan. I'm not trying to get on you. I'm just saying, like, I'm a fan of so many stuff that came out in 2009, but it was like my responsibility as a fan not to support that Transformers movie because that was terrible.
I still
to this day have not seen that movie.
I know, but you know what?
All these guys care about is their cash and their ratings. If you listen, you know how hard it's going to be to get that director out of Transformers? Listen, people have gone up to him and to his face and said, listen, your Transformers film was terrible. You know what he does? He says, well, look how much money it made.
Oh.
He will always go to, it's same with Bad Boys 1 and 2. The guy's a terrible director. Listen, he will always go to box office receipts to shut people up. And then what can you say after that? I mean, really.
Well, I
think about that. A lot of the movies that have won Oscars in the past, movies that didn't do very well, and they were really, really good movies, and I was surprised that they won an Oscar.
Exactly.
I can't remember of one right on top of my head, but like you said, they took a risk and they got a reward after, you know.
Look at Slumdog Millionaire. Look at Slumdog Millionaire.
You guys, this is gonna totally close this off.
All right.
Call us back on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Enjoy talking to you.
Yeah.
You said what?
We enjoyed talking to you.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have been a pleasure.
Okay.
I'm Jerry.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Jerry.
Yes. I'll call you.
Call me after
24.
Yeah. Call me after 24.
I will. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.